We love you, Jesus. You know, when you get in the presence of God, a preacher has 1,000 sermons. Tonight I came with a message on my heart, but I think I'm going to put that one off because I feel, looking around, that God wants to speak to you. Not just about your public place, but the private place you have with him. But God wants to invade your private place with him. I've got no notes on this, so if I make a few mistakes, you forgive me, yeah? Hey, there's no mistakes when we share our heart, amen? The message I was going to share tonight, oh, it was really good. But I might do it tomorrow. But tonight, as I looked around, I turned to Jeff and I said, I got a feeling God wants to talk to them about the place that they go home to. Because you see, it's not just about what happens in this room, though what's happening in this room is awesome and the presence of God is incredible, but God's got some news for you. He wants to meet you tomorrow morning. And he wants to touch you there in your private world. I'm amazed by Jesus. I love the Holy Ghost. I love to read the Gospels. When I read about Jesus, you know, religion kind of took him and they made him a little bit flimsy, to tell you the truth, especially in England. There's a whole lot of crosses with a feeble man hanging there that's very, very weak and very, very feeble. But you see, Jesus wasn't like that. Anyone else feel the Holy Ghost tonight? Hey, that's all we need for a good night. See, Jesus wasn't feeble. He was a strong man. He wasn't weak. He was meek. And there's a big difference. Because weakness and meekness are not the same thing. Meek is when you have power, but you're in control. And Jesus had the power of heaven. Yet when you study the word weak, they say it's like the horse that leads a battle. They say it's the front horse that leads a battle that's got the most energy, the most potential, and can lead a charge, but he will not move until his rider says go. That was Jesus. He wasn't weak. He was meek. He was strong. He was a strong man. And God wants you to be a strong man. God wants you to be a strong person, not an arrogant person. But God wants you to walk with confidence and strength on the face of this earth because you're a child of God. You're not a mere man anymore. Paul said to the Corinthians, the problem here, the root problem, it's not what you're doing. It's not the envy. It's not the jealousy. The problem is you're not seeing yourselves like you should be seeing yourselves because you're acting like mere men because you think you're mere men. But I just want to tell you tonight, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Man, when you get that in your heart, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's where my confidence comes from, Alice. I'm a temple of the Holy Ghost grace. But I just really felt tonight God wanted to begin to tease you a little bit, but he don't just want to meet you here. He wants to meet you in the private place of your life. Because when I read the book of Acts, hey, I'm a Penty. I believe in the book of Acts. I believe that they were in an upper room and then suddenly, bam, like a mighty rushing wind, the Holy Ghost came and he filled and he empowered and everyone that was in that room was changed. I don't know, I think I like preaching without notes better. This is more fun. Waiting for the next sentence. But you see, it's important when we read the book of Acts that it said that all of a sudden they didn't have a book, they didn't know what they were waiting for, but suddenly, don't you love God that he's a God of suddenly? Maybe you've been praying for that breakthrough, and maybe tonight's that suddenly. But you know what? God don't just work at 7 p.m. He's working when you're asleep. Because God, he doesn't slumber. We've got to understand that God lives outside of the aquarium of what we know to be everything. That if you look at that little fishy in its little aquarium, and if you could interview the little fishy, and the fishy would say, well, this is the XYZ of it all, and this is what happened. But he's only speaking out of the knowledge of what he knows in this aquarium of his life. But God lives outside of the aquarium of who you are. That's why when he prophesied to Jeremiah, he prophesied about things outside of the aquarium of his life. He prophesied about things outside of the XYZ. I look at Jesus and I see a strong man, not an arrogant man. He was a man of grace. And I asked myself a question, Jesus, what made you so strong? I know you're the Son of God, you're 100% God, but you're also 100% man. And you walked this earth with confidence. And when I think about that, two things comes to mind. And one was, he was a man that didn't just read the Bible. He let the Bible be everything he was. We see him walk into the temple, and it's in Luke, and if you don't believe me, I'll dig it out for you later. He walks in and they hand him a scroll. And that was unusual because at his age they did that. They handed him a scroll. It was his turn to read. It was somebody else's turn the day before and somebody else's turn the day before that. Today was his turn. And they hand him the scroll, and he takes a scroll and he begins to read those words, "The Spirit of the Lord. He's upon me. He's anointed me to set people free, to open prison doors, to release captives." What normally happened at this point was you gave the scroll back and people sat around and said, "You read that so well." But not this day. Jesus, he says, "I've got something else to say. That's me. That's me." You know what he did? He took the scroll and he unrolled the scroll over his life. Hey, it's time for us to begin to unroll the scroll. That would make a good t-shirt, wouldn't it? Unroll the scroll. It's time for us to begin to stop reading it like it's a dictionary and begin to realize this is a scroll. This is what says who you are, what you can do, what you have, the potential of who you are. It's within the scroll that makes you strong. It's time for us to stop reading it and time to unroll it. In that upper room, Holy Ghost turns up. But then there's something, I missed it for a lot of years, but when I saw it, it changed my life. It said, and then this cloud of fire, it broke off into tongues of fire. And one sat upon the head of each one present. And they were all individually, personally filled with the Holy Ghost. Which meant when they were together and they were having a meeting, they were awesome. They could shake nations. But if you caught one of them alone in Walmart the next day, he could cast out demons in the carrot aisle. And he could turn worlds upside down. Because God's plan wasn't just a corporate anointing, but to empower people so that when the persecution would come and the church would be divided, they didn't lose their power. You need to know that in the presence of God tonight, we feel great power. But tomorrow morning, it's still there. Holy Ghost don't stay here and wait for you to come back. Holy Ghost don't say, "Oh, you had a real good night. See you tomorrow." When you're sleeping, he's slow cooking your soul and your spirit. When you wake in the morning, he says, "Been waiting for you to wake up. It's a new day." The trouble is, we've been bred in our Christianity to come and meet him in church. But God wants to begin to invade your secret place. Because, you know, when I study the life of Jesus, I see a public ministry, but I also see a private place that he had with God. And if we want to be great, we can't just live from a public place. We have to have a very strong private place. And tonight, I believe God's endorsing everything that's happening here publicly. But he's sending out an invitation for you to open the gates of a secret garden back in your life where he can meet with you, where you can live in the audience of one. Because Jesus never got empowered at public meetings. He went in powerful. Because he had a private world. And if we want to be the church that changes a nation and turns the world upside down, we'll only do it when we open the gates and take the chains off of our secret gardens. So I can have a read to you from the Bible. I'm going to do it anyway, I'm just being polite. I need to put my glasses on. Can you hold that for us? We love you, Jesus. When Jesus steps into somebody's world, he turns it around. Not religion, Jesus. When Jesus turns up, things begin to live again. Not religion, Jesus. When Jesus turns up, the atmosphere changes. Remember when he went to the wedding feast? He didn't make it worse, he made it better. And Pentecostals have been arguing over the whole, he turned water into wine, and they've been trying to turn wine back to water ever since, and they've got all bent out of shape. But it's a great day. What you've got to see is when Jesus went to the wedding feast, he didn't make it worse. They didn't all jump out the windows and go, "Captain Killjoy's here. It's time to leave now. We need to go now. We need to go. The party was... Oh, no, quick. Jesus has arrived. Let's go before it gets boring." The party got better. It was good before he came, but when he came, it got better. Listen, when Jesus steps into your life, the atmosphere of your life doesn't get worse. It gets better. Listen, we need to understand if we're going to carry the Son of God, when we turn up, people shouldn't dive out the windows because you've arrived. They should want to stay longer because Christ in you changes the atmosphere of when we turn up. We need to understand we're not carrying religion. We're not carrying the Ark of a Covenant. We're carrying Jesus Christ. And when Jesus turns up, he changes the atmosphere. He used to go to funerals and people were wailing and whining because that's what you do at funerals. But when he'd finished and he'd got the boy out the coffin, people weren't wailing anymore, because when Jesus turns up, things come to life. They come awake. They liven up. Jesus, what made you so strong? You know, Matthew 26, it's a busy night. Lots happened. He's in an upper room. He's in an upper room and he's just did communion with the boys. He just broke bread and wine with the dream team. Spent a special moment with the Marvelettes. Woman dashes in, smashes pot of expensive perfume. Man, you read Matthew 26, it's a busy night, but the best was yet to come. She breaks in and she breaks that perfume, and Judas gets a little bit offended by that. But he gets even more offended when, after his statement of wastage, Jesus turns around and disagrees with him and agrees with her and says what she's done is special. That was the kind of straw that broke the camel's back. What Judas was going to do, the button was pressed. But then Jesus, he says, "Boys, you're going to get the point later on. I'm not going to be here like this much longer. The greatest lesson I need to teach you is the one I'm going to teach you now." And I don't know about other parents, but we say many things to our kids when we're leaving the house. But the thing we say last is the thing we mean the most. The last thing that Jesus said was servitude. He got on his knees and he washed their feet. Remember old Peter? He was a bit funny, wasn't he, Peter? "Not my feet, Lord." And Jesus said, "Then you've got nothing to do with me." He goes from not wanting his feet washed to, "Wash my whole body." That's a little bit me. I'm a bit of an eccentric. So he's a bit of a nutcase. Jesus loved him. They broke bread. They washed feet. But I want to pick from verse 36. And it says, "Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to him, 'My soul is even exceedingly sorrowful.'" This is Jesus. He said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I or my will be done, but your will." When he came to the disciples, he found them asleep again. He said to them, "Couldn't you watch with me 1 hour, boys? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is so weak." And he went away a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cup can't pass from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and he found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy. And he went away again a third time and he prayed, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to him, "Are you still sleeping, resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's be going. See, he who betrays me is at hand. You can pop back on the chair. Just want to bring out a couple of points tonight, which I think is important for you if you want to live a strong life for God. And I want to live a strong life for God. Number one, you got to know how to not just read the Bible, but unroll the scroll over your life. Everything it says you are, you are. Everything it says you can do, you can do. Don't place your confidence in what man's saying about you. Place your confidence in what God is saying about you. Don't build your plans upon what man says you're capable of, but begin to unroll the scroll and see what God says you're capable of. Get his viewpoint, his perception of who you are. But in this account, I see Jesus moments before the most horrendous moment of his life. These are the moments just before all hell lets loose. Literally. These are the moments before, just moments before, hours before, all hell let loose upon the flesh of one man like waves beating against the sea wall. Hell and wrath was going to be poured upon his body. And I noticed he never went to a revival meeting. Because he couldn't get what he needed there. But rather he went to a place called Gethsemane. Don't get me wrong, I love revival meetings and I'm loving being here with you, but I'm just believing tonight God wants to take this further in your life and make it more than something that you come to of an evening. He wants to be there when you open your eyes in the morning in a new way. Tomorrow morning God wants to invite the place where it's just you and him. Moments before all hell's going to let loose. Everything that belonged to us, the punishment, the judgment, was going to pour and rain down upon his flesh so that we could be free. Moments before, he says, guys, we're going to a garden. Come over here, guys. We're going to a garden. And he goes into Gethsemane and he says to a big amount of the guys, a big bunch of the team, he says, guys, you wait here. You wait here, just wait here for me. And he goes a little bit further into this garden called Gethsemane. And he's got his special team with him, some of the guys that he walks close with. And he says to them, boys, I want you to stay here too. I need you to stay here. And then he takes a few more steps. He takes a few more steps into a secret garden where no man could hear and no man could see what was going to happen. And Jesus bows down in that place to his Father. And you see, no one was watching and no one was listening. There was no one standing next to him, which meant he could be all he needed to be. And he begins to cry out, God, I know what's coming, Father. I know what's coming. And I know it's got to be done, but God, if there's any way, there's another way. And all of a sudden, the moment, it's just too big. And he gets up and he leaves the secret garden and his guys, and he says, guys, you're sleeping, come on, you're sleeping. But it really wasn't about them sleeping. It was about him coming to terms with a button that was going to be pressed. And the God in him was fine, but the man in him was, you're sleeping. And then he goes a second time and he looks at the gate and a lot of the guys are there, a handful are here. He walks to the gate again and he goes into that place where there's the audience of one and no one hears and no one sees. And he bows down in that place and he starts to say, and some places record at that moment, he began to weep blood and distress. And God, if there's any way, I know it needs to. But God, if it says the cup, if it could pass for me, God. But again, he leaves and he goes out of the garden and they're sleeping again. And he says, come on, guys. Didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was going to happen. He did. But that third time, stay with me. That third time, he looks at the garden and he goes in. He opens the gate and he goes in. It wasn't a strange place to him. He used to pop off and spend time with God a lot. when you read through the Gospels, you see all of a sudden they looked for him and he wasn't there. And then he'd appear from under a bush or somewhere, and he'd been going to spend time with his father, because the revival meeting didn't give him what he needed for what he had to do. He got the strength for what he had to do in a private place, in a secret place, where there was just the audience of one and no one looking or hearing. And in that place, his third time, he bows down. And he says, my father, I trust you. This isn't what I want to do, Father, but not my will be done, but yours. Dad, I'm scared. I know what needs to be done, not my will, but yours. I don't know what transpired next, but something did. Because all of a sudden we read that Jesus comes out of the garden and he doesn't look afraid anymore. And he says to his team, rise up. It's time. The betrayer's at hand. And Judas comes, and with that kiss, he betrays him. And the button's pressed on the unleashing of wrath and punishment that would beat the shores of his life, ending with a cry of, it's finished! What I want to sow into your hearts tonight, in the secret garden, I don't know what transpired, but something did. Where there was the audience of just one and a man crying out, I need you, Father. Something from heaven came to earth. A boldness, a courage, a strength. A strength and a boldness that was more than enough for everything that lay ahead in the next few hours. Listen, God wants to have a secret garden time with you. God wants to have a secret garden time with you. What God's doing here in these evenings and in the mornings when you meet, it's awesome. But God wants to begin to have this with you. Just you and him. Hey, I believe in public revival. But I don't believe public revival will change the earth. I believe people committed to living in personal revival will change the earth. I remember years ago I was doing a revival, and I was watching the meeting. It was awesome. And as I was leaving, God gave me a picture of a fun fair, a circus type thing. And I saw people leaving with their cotton candy and their balloons. And I said, it's all good, God, isn't it? He said, yeah, it's all good, Andy. Then he showed me a picture of 4 days later when the cotton candy was gone and the balloon was deflated. And God began to say to my heart, Andy, teach people to live in personal revival. It doesn't mean that we stop public revival. It just means when we come here, if we don't walk through the door like voids, we walk through like flames of fire. Listen, God wants to begin to affect your private world. That's what I'm prophesying over your life tonight. God wants to continue to bless your socks off here. But it's time for it to begin to overspill now. Tomorrow morning when you go to a secret place, he wants to begin to touch you, begin to minister to you. Jesus, in the moments before all hell let loose, he didn't choose a public platform, though he had one. He chose a private place with God. Listen, your private place needs to be special to you. And what we're trying to do in our generation is just break through some of the religious garbage that was handed down to us. I don't know about you, but I never enjoyed a devotional life with God for a lot of years because I was trying to live a devotional life that was somebody else's that I read about in a book. You got an option if you want to buy a suit. You can get one fits all. You can go to a shop and you can have one size fits all off the shelf. But I tell you, it's never as good as made to measure. God wants to take your private time with him and breathe life into it. God wants to take your private time, the secret garden. You know, he left a crowd of them here. I reckon that's because they wouldn't have been able to handle what he was doing in there. The sight of him crying, going, "Dad!" would have freaked them out. But even the ones that walked close to him, he didn't allow them either to come in to the secret garden. Listen, it's good that you got people who walk close with you. But your time with God, it should be the audience of one. Because that enables you to be as vulnerable, as passionate. It enables you to do what you need to do to get what you need to get. Power of revival in our lives. It's got to affect every hour of who we are. I thank God for public expressions of revival, but tonight God's saying, I want to go deeper. I want to take the chains off of the gate of your secret garden. And I want to change your Monday morning. I want to change your Tuesday morning, your Wednesday morning. I want to flood your life. You can buy a suit that's off the shelf and it looks all right. But man, when you go to England, to Savile Row, and they make one to measure. God wants to take your devotional life if it's boring and mess it up and make it alive again. I did it, I know you did, that I used to read books of mighty men of God. Where's the nuggets? Where's the secrets? I remember reading one by Smith Wigglesworth, the English plumber, uneducated, that turned into a man of faith. Where's the nuggets? Where's the nuggets? Ah! At 3 a.m, he would rise. And with bread and wine, he would do communion with God. Every morning without fail, I had the secret. The next morning, I set my alarm clock. I made it about 3:05, but it was close enough. And I got my little wafer and my Ribena. And I was just like Wiggy. It was awesome. The bread was like manna. The juice. The next day, I got up at 10:20. It wasn't mine, it was someone else's. Wasn't mine, it was someone else. God wants to have something that's special with you. The length of it, what you do, the worship, what happens in the secret garden where no one sees and no one hears, you're in the audience of one. It's got to be true to who you are. It's got to be you, otherwise this whole thing's just fake. Do you know the address for the secret garden? I'll give it to you if you want it. It's not obligation. No, it's not obligation. The address to the secret garden is spelled desire. Desire. Because God, he don't want you there if you don't want to be there. How many times have we done that? Through obligation, God, it's morning, I better pray. And the Lord would say, don't bother. Don't bother. Listen, God would have rather a few minutes, a few quality minutes with you in the morning. and 50 minutes where you're both bored. You think you're bored, he's bored. It's true, we think, you know, he's up there going, yeah. God's after reality. He's after reality. God loves the secret place. He loves the secret place of your life. He loves the public place, but he's more in love with the secret place of your life. If you read, I'll dig it out for you later, there's a whole bunch of scripture concerning our private world. There's this whole bunch, and it says, over three sections, same principle carries, it says, when you do charitable deeds, when you do things charitably, he said, don't do it in such a way that everybody's watching, but rather don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, and that which is done in private will be rewarded in open. That's a great principle. That which is done in private is rewarded in open. So I'm only going to preach for a few minutes, then I'm going to invite some people to have their secret garden opened up. Because there's some people here and you once had one, but you ain't been there for a long time. God wants to meet you there again. God wants to meet you there again. He wants you to have incredible times with him in these evenings. But he wants that tongue of fire breaking off onto the heart of one to begin to it. So that when you wake up in the morning, you still feel alive. You still feel it in revival. Listen, public revival won't change the world. People like you and me choosing to take responsibility for personal revival. The flame that God's lit in here in your heart. Take your responsibility, God. I'm not letting it go out. The Bible says that, you know, where there's no wood, the fire goes out. It's great that God's lighting fires in the fire of Kingston. But God's plan is for this not to be a moment, but to be something that changes the city, that spreads down the highways and the byways. But for that to happen, it's about us saying, God, we're going to grow up with this thing. We're not going to be visitors. The disciples didn't visit revivals. They started them wherever they went. They said, these men who have turned the world upside down, now they're here. Do you know why? Because they didn't just enjoy their corporate meeting. They had secret gardens where each of them knew how to draw upon God, how to pray in the Holy Ghost, how to worship with intimacy. Each of them had a made-to-measure relationship. He wants a one-on-one with you. The Bible says when you pray, Jesus was watching the Pharisees pray. And he watched them, and they were performers. They were masters, orators. They stood in the marketplaces and prayed with such eloquence. But God was not impressed. Because Jesus stood in the middle of this sham, and he said, and when you pray, if you study the Bible, it's interesting that it says, go to a secret place. And what you do in private. Now, don't get me wrong, we need public prayer, we need church prayer. But the Bible says that God wants private prayer. He wants one-on-one with you too. Because he says, what you do in secret, he said, I will reward you openly. We've got an option now. We can have the open reward from doing things where people see, or else we can have the reward that God gives us from the things that we do in private where nobody sees. Now I want the reward that God gives me openly where no one sees, because I know what the world can give, and I know what God can give, and what God gives is a whole lot bigger and a whole lot better. Now, I'm still going to pray in public because there's a place for public prayer, but I'm not going to just have a public prayer relationship. I'm going to have a secret garden where nobody knows the address but me. And in that place, I'm going to pray to God. Just like Jesus needed a secret garden. Hey, if Jesus needed it, so do I. If Jesus needed a secret garden, I ain't going to kid myself for a minute, but I don't. I want to inspire you to keep on coming out. Bring your friends. Let what God's doing here in this fire get all over you. But today, make the decision that this is going to affect the secret place of your life. And you're never going to be the same again. It's hard to get a secret place when you've got five kids. Your secret place, it can't be a physical location if you've got five kids, or six, or seven, or 12, I don't know. I know sometimes, you know, when you get that invitation to the secret place, normally it takes us too long to get there, but you know when you get that thing that you just want to spend some time with God, that's God saying, come on, let's spend some time together. And sometimes I go looking for a room in our house, you know. We've got a nice size house, but we've got five kids. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to my office because I don't want to do a public. I want some secret garden time with God, because in the secret garden time, I'm empowered. I receive strength for everything that's coming at me. It's my secret time with God that gives me my strength for my public time with people. It's not the public time with people that gives me strength. It's like Jesus experienced. It's my secret garden, my tailor-made, my one-on-one worship for the audience of one that gives me the root and the secret of my strength. I can sometimes go, I think, I just need some time with Jesus. I just need to. And I go in my office and I go, and then Olivia spins around, my oldest girl, and she's in my chair on my computer. No secret garden there today. I go to the little girl's room and everything's pink because they love Barbie. And I go in there and I'm like, I'm going to have a secret garden. And I kneel down and suddenly I've got Barbie in my face, Barbie on my head. Barbie to the left, Barbie to the right. And then all the girls rush in and that ain't my secret garden today. And sometimes I go for a walk in the country park. And you ever been caught out spending time with God in public? Sometimes I'm walking along the country park and I'm thinking, this is a good place for a secret garden. And I start praying, Karobo sebe tiando, savarianda. Suddenly, I begin to feel the strength. You know what I'm talking about? The strength that the world doesn't give. Suddenly, korabasundo kobate. Suddenly, and before long, my arms are lifting up and I'm walking and I'm saying, Jesus, we're going to change your city. We're going to change your nation, God. And before long, I'm getting carried away. Yes, Jesus, I can do it, God. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see the man with his dog. Yeah, you have been caught out, the man and his dog, and he's been watching me for 5 minutes. You know, I used to try and fake it. I used to pretend, grab myself, yeah, bye-bye, sell, and just, you know. But he's been watching me for 5 minutes, coming down the road there. Or other times I pretend I've got a Walkman in, and I've been praying. I've been like, God, I'm not afraid. And then I see him, and I go, I'm not petrified. Kept thinking, I could never live with that. But, you know, after a while, you get over faking it. You get over faking, and these days I just kind of look and I say, listen, I'm praying. Deal with it. Deal with it. The address of your secret garden is an obligation, it's desire. If you have a desire to spend good time with God outside of public meetings, time where it's just you and Him, you'll always find somewhere to spend some time with God. What we do in private, He rewards us openly. That's a good deal. That's a great deal. He speaks of charitable deeds, and then He speaks of prayer. And then He speaks of fasting. I hate fasting. Sorry, my flesh hates fasting. My record recently was 45 minutes. It was tough. Even when we're fasting, remember what Jesus said? He said, look at them. Look at them. They've been fasting 20 minutes and they're... You ever seen anyone that's fasting and they get a kick out of letting you know they're fasting without telling you? They walk in and the face is like this. The face says it all, doesn't it? Hair scruffy. Been fasting 20 minutes of a 2-hour fast. Lips like they haven't drunk water for 3 weeks and they've been through the day. And you say to him, they're waiting for you, say, are you fasting? I don't say it, I annoy him. I know he want me to, I'm not saying it. I'm not taking their public reward away from him. But he says, hey, when you fast, put some makeup on, for goodness sake. Well, don't say that, that's what I say. Comb your hair, gel up. The key is you don't let people know you're doing it, because if you let people know you're doing it, you've lost your reward. And the choice is yours. You can have a reward that man gives, or you can have a reward that God gives. And all I can tell you is God's reward's so much bigger. Hey, I'm going to pray for some people in a second. I can hear the sound of secret gardens opening. I can hear rusty hinges that aren't going to be rusty anymore, because you realise you haven't got to be in there and be like your mum was, or your dad was, or Smith Wigglesworth was. God don't care if it's 2 minutes. God don't care if it's 10 minutes. God don't care if you worship first and then you read later. God don't care if you don't read 10 of the old and 10 of the new. And the son. God wants to tailor make a time with you. The time that Jesus had with his Father, in that moment, something transpired that empowered him, infused him to go ahead and live and face all the challenges that was going to come against him. God doesn't want you stepping out into your world in weakness. He wants you to come in boldness. He wants you to be being filled, not just in a public expression, but in a private place for him. God is calling you tonight, not just to a public time, but to a secret place. But he's not going to make you go. One of our interns this year, she blessed me up. Her name was Eve. And she's been an intern for about a year. She's involved in our worship streams. And I was talking to her and I said, Eve, you're on internship, you're about halfway through. What's been the best bit? And I was kind of expecting her to say, you're preaching. No, she didn't do that. It's all right, I've forgiven her. I was expecting her to say, leading worship, leading 600 people on a Sunday morning into the presence of God. She didn't say that. What she said was, the best bit of my internship so far has been those private times I've had with God in my bedroom. I sat and I looked at her and I said, Eve, the world will see your gift. The world will see your gift. Like Pastor Vaughan and Steve, and I've had the chance to mix with some really influential people in the faith. And one thing I've discovered, I've got to mix with some great preachers. But I've discovered a little secret. Every one of those great preachers, before the lights of fame and the stage lit up, each of them were men and women who spent time in a private place listening to the greatest preacher of all. I've had the privilege of meeting great worship leaders who are famous in the world of worship. It's no mistake that each of them, as I've asked them, as I've listened to them, were people just like Eve. But before the lights came on and the public reward was manifested, there were young girls and young boys with their instruments in secret gardens, worshipping where no one could hear. Worshipping with the audience of just one. But he was so worth it. What we choose to do in private, God rewards openly. Now we can live by that principle and say, well, I want the openness. I want the reward of men. I want people to see how cool I am. I want people to appreciate me. That's fine. You won't go to hell, but you've had everything you're getting. You have had everything you're getting. Ah, but the people that have a secret garden where even their closest friends and even their wives and their husbands, they don't come in. These people, they have the promise of God over their lives. But what's been done where no one sees will be rewarded on the stage where everyone observes. I'm so excited about what's going on with Kingston Fire. Tonight, I can show you some of the notes. I came with a different message. But as I looked around in worship, I saw some people so lost in God. And I turned to Jeff and I said, Jeff, I think I'm going to talk about a secret garden tonight. Because God wants this fire to break out in your house tomorrow morning. God wants this fire to break out in your workplace. God wants this fire to break out in your university and in your college. But it won't break out if we don't move beyond coming to something. We've got to step into being something. We've got to go beyond attending, and we've got to stop just attending, which is good, and make the decisions. No, God, I'm going to be a carrier of your fire. God, I'm going to carry this. God, I'm going to begin to carry this. And just as you're affecting people here every night, God, my life is going to begin to affect people. I love public revival, but it's private revivals in the lives of people who take responsibility for what God's doing in their lives. But we'll change this world. The disciples, shortly after the fire had come down, they got split off to the four corners of the world. A persecution came that split them up as they knew meetings to be. But as Andrew made his way to England, he was on fire. And he knew how to stir it up. He knew how to go into a secret place and let heaven loose in his life. Thomas said, I'm going to India. I'm going to turn India upside down. And you better, but each of them were walking like John Wayne. Because that's what you get in the private place. A few minutes with God. A few minutes with God. Hey, I don't know about you in the mornings. Feel saved. Sometimes I don't feel human. How about you? Hey. But I tell you what. I've made a decision. I'm taking responsibility for this. You were there, Vaughan, when God touched me with the Holy Ghost. Remember, I bent down in that barn and we were in a Holy Ghost meeting, what, about 15, 16 years ago, wasn't it? And people were laughing and crying. We were up there in Wyndham. And I was annoyed. You ever been annoyed where you're like, God, enough, I've finished window shopping. I'm going to have some of this. And that night, people were laughing in the Holy Ghost and stuff like that. But I was aggravated because I was aggravated. Brother Andy was aggravated because I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, but there was something more. There was something. And I knelt down on that barn, and the meeting came to an end. And Vaughan said, he never seen my face look so scary. He said, he came up and he said, hey, Andy, I said, I ain't leaving till I get it. And I knelt there on that barn floor till the sun rose. But when I got up, I'd only got it. And it never went out. And that was about 15 years ago. And it never went out. You know why? Because I made a decision. When I got it, I ain't going to lose it. Because if you don't use it, you can lose it. But you don't have to lose it. You've got to learn how to stir it up. And I wake up in the morning sometimes. And sometimes I wake up in hotels. Sometimes I wake up in people's houses. Sometimes I wake up in my own home, which is real nice. But I made a decision. This day ain't going very far until I let revival loose in my life. Because I don't want to be someone that just goes. You got to go to get, but when you got to just do more than go and get. Don't even ask me to say that again. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, even when I've been to a revival meeting, even when I've done a revival meeting, and I wake up and I'm like, oh, looking for the mirror to see the state of things. And then I look and I can hear my soul saying, you just need another 2 hours in bed. I can hear the bed calling me, Andy, come back, my lover. Let us be. I used to go back, but I realized 2 hours sleep don't give me what I need to change the world. If it wasn't the bed, it was a toaster. Come and get some toast. That'll make you my tea. It didn't take me long to realise I don't know sleep, I don't need toast. I need to take Paul's advice and stir up the Holy Ghost inside me. I need to take responsibility. I need to stir up a gift that God's placed in me. I need to fan into flame the fire of God in me. Listen, when you go into the private place in the morning, you fan the fire of God in your life. Because God don't want us to be a bunch of people that drag our ways through the week and come into churches singing pathetic songs like, light my fire again. Come on, someone's got to ask, why did it go out? It goes out because people won't take responsibility. The role of a minister isn't to be the big man lighting people's fuses every Sunday. That's not the job of a pastor. Come on Sunday and I'll light your fire again. Well, not this pastor. This pastor's saying, let's talk about why you went out. And often it's because people can't be bothered to read the Bible. And they can't be bothered to go into a secret place and get something for themselves. It's time to take responsibility. And I close with this thought. What do I do when I wake up and I feel like that? I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Man, when you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, it's powerful. And I'm not saying it's easy. Sometimes it's like walking through porridge or oatmeal. Especially when you've had a late night, Steve, eh? Hey, some morning, it's like, you know it's happening, but it's just, you know. It's like starting one of those old Henry Ford cars. That's where many people quit. Listen, if you carry on, God will add some milk. And suddenly it's no longer, but it's, suddenly mysteries are being spoken out of your spirit. I go into then, you don't get to experience this because this is normally happening in a bathroom somewhere. I go into my John Wayne stage and all of a sudden you don't hear a man in porridge anymore, you hear Sheteke de Basiaka Bosheve. Same day, same person, something's happened. I used to stop at my John Wayne stage, but then one day I thought, I wonder what's next. Imagine the devil at my bathroom door, like, what's going on in there? What's going on in there? Suddenly the door flies and crushes him as Andy. Ooh! I've only gone into my ninja stage. Now I'm ready for the world. If you don't enjoy Mondays, change them. Not your will be done, not my will be done, not God, my will, your will be done, Lord. Thank you, God. You give me strength for everything that's going to face me. It's time to open the gates of your private garden. Stress is desire. Kul bate beki anda. Tu base beki anda. Ki barabo bubusa bate. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hey, if you're feeling condemned, let it lift off of you in Jesus' name. Let it lift off of you in Jesus' name. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets us free from the law of sin and death. Because the law of life in Christ is greater than the law of sin and death. Condemnation finds its strength in law. But when law is fulfilled and sin is dealt with, condemnation is lifted off of people. Corabo sebetiando moso coriando. Kibarabo sobocobote. Has anybody here never given their life to Jesus and you want to? I'm going to pray for a few people soon, but I'm one of his guys. At any opportunity I do, I give an opportunity for people to say yes to Jesus. You said yes to Jesus, have you made him Lord and Savior? Are you here tonight and you need to make your peace with God? You need to make your peace with God. You need to make your peace with God. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Father, we worship you. Jesus, we adore you, Jesus. We adore you, Jesus. You're more than wonderful. You're more than wonderful. Jesus, we're amazed by you. Holy Spirit, we need you so much. We need you so much. We need you so much. Hey, why don't we all pray this prayer tonight? Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross for me. You made payment for all of my sin and all of my shame. The cross was a perfect, successful work that liberates me and sets me free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a new life, forgiven of sin, made alive. Just my every eyes is closed, every eye closed. Just gonna count to three. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you've been away from God and you need to come back, and tonight you say, I'm coming back, Andy. Coming back tonight. Andy, I want this Jesus. I want this Jesus. Just going to ask you when I count to three, just to do something very simple. I'm going to ask you to pop your hand up. So, I'm going to ask you to pop your hand up. And if you're here tonight and you've never given your life to Jesus, or you've been away from God, you just go ahead then when I say three and pop your hand up. One, get ready. Two. Hey, I know these meetings have been going for a few weeks now, but maybe there's one tonight. Maybe there's someone tonight that's come and you just need to make peace with God. Here we go, three. If that's you, pop your hand up nice and high. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. Is there a third person today? You pop your hand up and say, that's me. Is there a third person? Just looking for that third person. Is there a third person here tonight? You say, me as well, Andy. Don't leave me out, Andy. That's me as well, Andy. That's me as well. Is that you tonight? Are you that third person? We're just going to wait a couple more minutes if that's you. God bless you. Where's the fourth person tonight? Where's the fourth person tonight? You say, that's me, Andy. Me too. Don't shut the door yet, Andy. I'm coming. I'm coming. If that's you, pop your hand up if you're the fourth person tonight. This is between you and God tonight. I promise I'm not going to make a public exhibition of you. This is about you and God tonight. Are you that fourth person? If so, just pop your hand up ever so quickly. Ever so quickly. You just pop your hand up now. I'm going to begin the counting this down. But if you're the fourth person, pop your hand up. We got four, three. God bless you. Where's the fifth person tonight? The fifth person tonight, you say, me too, Andy. I ain't missing out on this. This is far too good to miss. I'm coming in now. If that's you, I'm counting it down. If you're the fifth person, you pop your hand up too. Five, four, three. Anybody else? Two. Here we go. God bless you. Where's the sixth person tonight? Where's the sixth person tonight? Maybe you say, well, I was going to be the fifth, but somebody's the fifth. That's all right. You can be the sixth. Who's the sixth person tonight? This is just about making peace with God. This is about making peace with God. Is there a sixth person as we shut this down? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Father, I pray grace upon every person who's responded. Father, I pray abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness upon every life that's responded. Hey, tonight, if you're kind of brave enough or honest enough, and tonight, as I've spoken about a secret garden, you've said in your heart, you're right, Andy, I've never had one. Never had one, but I want one. Or tonight you say, maybe I had one, but it was boring, so it didn't last very long. But tonight I've heard what you said. I want to open a secret garden between me and God. I'm loving this in the evenings, but I want that secret garden you've spoken of, Andy. I want that private place. I want that secret place with God in my life. I need it, Andy, because that's where I get my strength from, isn't it? Yeah, it is. That's where strong men get strong. That's where strong women get strong. If you're here today and you say, I'm making a commitment tonight, I'm going to meet with God tonight at the front of His church, and I am going to open the gates of my secret garden, and I'm going to open wide the private place of my relationship with God. And I want God to fill that with revival. I want God to fill that with what He's doing here tonight. Are you brave enough, if that's you, to come and meet me here now? That's awesome. Yeah, just come and stand down here. That's awesome. Hey, I knew God was on that message because He was saying that He didn't want to decrease this, He wanted to increase it. Because, hey, if He has time with you in a secret place, imagine the state of you by the time you get here at night. We won't be voids walking in, but we'll be fires ready to get together with other fires. And hey, tomorrow morning, it's going to be tailor-made. How long have I got to spend in there, Andy? As long as you want to. How many chapters do I have to read? As many as you want to. But what did the oldies do? It doesn't matter what the oldies do. It's about you and Him. It's about what works and it's effective and what is real and what is passionate and what charges you. Some will have worship. Some won't. Some will read the Bible. Others won't. Some will pray in the Spirit for a long time and others will pray in the understanding. God doesn't want clones. He wants one-on-one personal relationships with each and every one of you. He wants to call you by name tomorrow morning. He doesn't want you to be a number. He wants to say, good morning, Wendy. Good morning, Alice. Good morning, Vaughn. Good morning. He wants to call you by name. I can hear a gate opening. And it's to a private place. Where those of grace and courage shall meet Him face to face. And in that place that starts in weakness, strength shall be revealed. Where weak people come in, strong will leave. If Jesus needed it, so do I. Would you lift your hands for me? Man, if we do this, these things go into another level. If we do this, this is going to another level. If we do it, it's going to another level. If you want it to go another level, this is what's going to do it. It's you tomorrow morning enjoying God on your own. This is going to do it. This is, man, the state of you guys tomorrow night if we do this. The state of you. State of you tomorrow night if we do this. And suddenly And suddenly, tongues of fire descended on their head of each that were present, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, not as a crowd, but as individuals. Filled in Jesus' name. Filled in Jesus' name. Filled in Jesus' name. Filled in, oh, the clouds breaking off into tongues, and it's touching heads. It's touching heads. It's touching heads. The fire's breaking into flames that are touching people individually. They're empowering you. They're breaking the power of depression off of the lives of ladies tonight. That fire is breaking the power of depression off of the soul of people who have been captive. The fire of God is reviving and healing. Somebody's ulcers are being healed now in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Ghost. Fire comes down. Fire comes down. God, we're hungry for you. God, we're hungry for you. Not just in a meeting, but in our lives. God, we're hungry for you to invade our lives. God, we want you to invade our mornings. God, we want more than just meetings. Just let him touch you. Man, you know that fire that fell in that room that day. Every life was changed. From the youngest to the oldest, from the weakest to the strongest. Every person that left that upper room, they were changed. Something inside had changed. You know, we think of Peter, man of great promises, Peter, who said he'd never deny Jesus, and then it just took three women to make him deny Jesus. He went into that upper room and he was feeling pretty low. He was feeling a little bit like a coward. But then the fire of God touched his life. The fire of God touched his life. And suddenly we see him preaching to 3,000 people. His confidence was back. When the fire of God touches you, your confidence comes back. Hey, something must have happened, because in one day he went from -3 to +3,000. That's the power of what we're dealing with tonight. He takes people from -3 to +3,000. Oh, when the Holy Ghost gets hold of your life, when he gets hold of your mornings. God don't want any more normal Christians. He's got enough to sink this planet. He's looking for some Holy Ghost hooligans. He's looking for some people who will get stirred up in the mornings. He's looking for some people that will take this beyond attending meetings to explode in life. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. I just want to begin to pray for some people. There's still a couple of people here, and you still say, Andy, I still don't feel I've got that confidence you were telling me about. Pop your hands up. The Holy Ghost wants to put confidence on you. Confidence. Remember, if the world didn't give it, then the world can't take it away. That was a great song. The world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. God wants to give out some confidence that's from him, which means when the world comes and says, give me that confidence, you can say, go away, it doesn't belong to you, I got this from God. Don't cast away your confidence because it's of great reward, says the Lord. Just going to stick with counting the three, I think, because it kind of works. So count the three. Just let God put confidence on your life. I'm purposely not praying for you at this point. I will in a moment. Because you can't think that you got this from any man. Because if you think you got it from a man, you'll think a man can take it away from you. But if you got it from God, then no one can take it away from you. The world can only claim what it owns. It can't take what God gave you. Father, I thank you for confidence that restores the broken person, lifts the head of a person that's been downtrodden. One, remember it's coming from God, direct to you, download, direct from heaven to you, from God. No man's hands involved here. This is a direct download from God to you, from his hard drive to yours. One, two, three. Boldness and confidence. Boldness and confidence from your God. Boldness and confidence from your Father in heaven. Oh, a total blood rush of confidence. Rise up, warrior. Rise up, warrior. Stretch those wings. They're not broken anymore. Stretch those wings. They're not broken anymore. God's healed them. You may have limped in here, but you're walking out. You may have limped in, but you're walking out. Because that which was broken, God's repaired it. That which was torn, God's repaired it. Thank you, Jesus. I see promotions come into people. Yep, even in a recession, promotions come into people. Because of this confidence that God's given you, attracting it like a magnet drawing it. Opportunities come into people. Opportunities come into people. Expect them, expect them. Not the person next to you, you. You expect it. You expect an opportunity this week to come to you because your life suddenly got God confidence all over it. It's got God confidence all over it. Oh, I just heard Goliath fall over. I just heard Goliath fall over. Somebody just threw a stone at Goliath. Somebody just threw a stone at a giant, and a giant just fell over. I don't know if that giant was addiction. One of those giants was addiction. A stone just knocked an addiction over. Somebody just confidently threw something at a giant, and he fell over. So if that's you, be free in Jesus' name. Somebody just gave up smoking instantly. Somebody just did it. Chuck them away. You don't need them anymore. Suppose we better start laying hands on some people, eh? Jeff, come on down, mate. And you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. It's the safest way to do this for. Yeah. Well, catchers, you know who you are. I don't, so you keep up with me. I'm not going to keep up with you. If one could be with Jeff and one with you, joining in, Vaughan, no, you don't. Some people tonight are going to receive a tongue of fire that they've never received before. You've been living in the corporate. Now God wants you to take some home. You've been blessed in the corporate. But now God wants you to take some home. Just as Thomas took some to India and Andy took some to England and the disciples spread across the earth and the world said of them, these people have turned the world upside down. Now they're here. They're going to say that of you too. This isn't going backwards, it's going forward. tomorrow's night's meeting is going to be richer because of what's going to happen in your secret garden. Here we go. Let's just begin to pray. Fill him up, Jesus. Fill him up, Jesus. Fill him up. Fire. Fire. Your very own tongue of fire. Your very own Holy Ghost tongue of fire. Just for you. Just for you. It's nobody else's. It's yours. It's yours. Upper room. Upper room touch. 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 An upper room touch. Just for you. Increase. 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 Bigger flame. Bigger flame. Increase. 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 Fresh fire. 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 You just keep worshiping him. Just keep worshiping him. Keep worshiping him. Just keep worshiping him. Just keep worshiping. Hey, everybody, just begin to worship God. You want to worship him in tongues? Worship him in tongues. We're going to make our way to you. Thank you, Lord.